Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell with a look at week one of the April 2015 celestial timings. And we always begin April with the day known as April Fool's Day. And this actually did come from the changing of the new year from April to January, and from the Julian calendar, and then when the Gregorian calendar was instituted. So those who continued to practice New Year or celebrate New Year in April were considered fools and were called fools, and it was a way to shame them into shifting to the January 1 time. And of course, back in 1582, when the Gregorian calendar was put into place, it was a time when news traveled much slower than it does today. Anyway, so this is a very powerful week because we are celebrating Easter. We will also be having a total lunar eclipse, and I'll speak a little bit more about that in a moment. On April 2nd, we're going to have Mercury trine Saturn. Saturn has entered into Sagittarius. We have Jupiter in Leo, and we have Uranus in Aries. So we have outer planets holding places within a grand trine. It's not a very precise grand trine right now, but Mercury's going to come along and activate that in Aries. It's going to be exactly trine Saturn on April 2nd. And then this grand fire trine will be activated again later this month when the moon enters Sagittarius and comes through. And I think actually there may be another activation that I'm not remembering right now. Anyway, there will also be a very briefly lived grand earth trine happening on April 2nd, and that's because the moon is in Taurus and Venus is in Capricorn and Pluto's in Capricorn and Venus is in Taurus. And so it's creating a very nice earth grand trine. So in the written version of the timings, you can see where I shared a lot about the what is the relationship between earth and fire. And I always find this very fascinating because I have a lot of fire on my chart. I actually have a grand fire trine with a moon in Sagittarius, Jupiter in Leo, and Venus in Aries. So it's very close. They're very closely trining each other. So I have a lot of fire on my chart, and as well as a Leo midheaven. We could throw in there and a couple of other outer planets in fire as well. So I have a lot of fire, and I tend to like to move very quickly. You may notice I talk kind of fast, in addition to having Mercury in Aquarius in an air sign, and all that fire tends to be something where I move pretty quickly, and fire does move quickly. Earth, on the other hand, tends to move slowly, and change does not come so quickly. And my husband Peter has Moon and Mars in Taurus, so he moves a lot more slowly than I do. And so we've been learning how to understand and appreciate each other's style of being. So studying the elements can be profound, and really having an understanding of how these elements operate. It also does give us a lot of information about how each of these signs operate through these elements. So one of the things is that fire needs earth. It has to have fuel to burn. And earth really needs fire in order to get anything done, to accomplish anything, to move. So I was also contemplating in the written version of the timings about Saturn, that is more like an earth energy. It's about structure and form and how things happen in the middle world reality, and it's most resonant with the sign of Capricorn. But currently it's in the sign of Sagittarius, a fire sign. So just simply by contemplating Saturn in Sagittarius, we're looking at how do earth and fire work together. And so when they work together, they can really actually accomplish amazing things, because fire has the active, intuitive, inspired way of being, and perhaps being able to get earth to move. Earth Earth needs fire to actually take action, to be able to do something. and to create a forum that's really sustainable and amazing. So when they're working together, then the earth creates the form for the fire to act within and to have the fuel that's needed to be sustained and to get things done. And then earth gets the inspiration that fire brings to so that it can create a form and a structure and a way of being that is complementary to the time, you know, to the evolution of time and the things that are happening at this time. So the questions that I posed were, to think about how you relate to these elements. Are you somebody who moves very quickly and maybe sometimes misses details as a result? Are you somebody who gets so stuck in the details that you miss opportunities as a result? So when there's a balance between fire and earth, then there's a balance between the taking care of the necessary details in order for something to be sustainable and workable and manifest in the middle world reality in a way that will work, and not so stuck in the details that the inspiration and the ability to take action and make it happen. So that's how they can work together. That's one of the ways they can work together anyway. And so if you're a person who hasn't really studied much about the elements, you might be interested in the element class that I did with Lauren Jubilier. And there's a link to that in the written version of the timings on April 2nd. You can find that link. So then we're going to have Good Friday, of course, on April 3rd, and the moon will go into Libra, and it will be with the Star of Prophecy, with Purima, the Star of Prophecy. On the 3rd, you can see the star map in the written version showing that. And then we'll the next day be the total lunar eclipse. And this is the third of four consecutive lunar eclipses that's been called the Blood Moon Tetrad. I spoke quite a bit about this last year, wrote about this last year as well. And these are happening at the major Jewish holidays. So the first one happened at Passover last year on April 15th. This one's happening at Passover on April 4th. And the and then the other ones were happening at Sukkot, which is in October, well, October 8th last year, and then we'll have the last total lunar eclipse on September 28th. And that one's very interesting because it's also a perigee moon, meaning it's the closest to the Earth, the moon closest to the Earth. So we just had that with the total solar eclipse that began this eclipse window. So we've been in an eclipse window since the equinox, and this total lunar eclipse will end that eclipse window that we've been in, or that I like to call eclipse cauldron. And the thing about the total lunar eclipse, I'm sorry, total lunar eclipse is we actually experience all of the moon phases compressed into a few hours. So usually it takes 29 and a half days for the moon to go from full back to full again. And then when we see a total lunar eclipse, we see the moon go from full to, not being so visible. Actually, this will be a blood moon. We will see the red on the moon, but the light of the moon, the light of the full moon disappears, similar to the way it is in a new moon, and then reappears in just a few hours. So what we hold in intention is accelerated and can be also compressed in and activated into manifestation. So it's really important to pay attention to what you're intending around this time. And of course, we're also at the time of Easter. Easter will happen the very next day. And that's all around the symbolism of resurrection. And one of the things we could say about this full moon is that total eclipse moon is that not only is it a full moon, the full moon, it's at the time of resurrection, the time that a lot of the world is focused on the imagery of resurrection. So we see the moon full, bright, brilliant, beautiful. Then it's going to be covered by it's actually the shadow of the earth passing between the sun and the moon. So when we're looking at a total lunar eclipse, and it will be visible in the U.S., most of the states in the United States, and the Americas. It is the West Coast that's going to see most of it, though. The East Coast, the moon will set before the eclipse is over. So what we're looking at is the shadow of the Earth. We're looking at our own shadow on the face of the moon at an eclipse. And it's a really powerful time. And, many ancient cultures, many even today, like the Navajo tribe, it's like if there's an eclipse going on, you're not to be outside, you're not to look at it. And so my oldest son, who's teaching on the Navajo Reservation High School, biology and physics, said that he mentioned something about a partial eclipse. It wasn't even visible where they were, ending school and sending all the kids home because you're not supposed to be out in eclipse energy. Anyway, so a lot of cultures share this, that there's, this is bad. And it's probably because it's like the fear of looking at the shadow piece. But of course, we're now in a time where we know that looking at our shadow is the thing that helps to empower us, because if we can integrate those shadow pieces, then we become more empowered. So this is a really remarkable time. The moon disappears and then is resurrected. It relights itself. And we've had, at the equinox, we had the total solar eclipse, not visible, only visible really in the northern, up around the North Pole and Faroe Islands and Scotland, up far north. However, it was also a time when the sun is rebirthed, so a resurrection, a renewal. So we have that theme very strongly happening right now. And the eclipse will happen, and then on Easter, the moon will pass by Spica. And the actual eclipted moon will be between Purima, the star of prophecy, and connected to the Delphic Oracle and the priestesses of prophecy and all of that. And then we'll have Spica, the moon with Spica, shortly thereafter, and that is the star of the Divine Feminine. And also connected to, there are those who call themselves the priestesses of Spica, that comes from an ancient lineage and tradition. So working with that. Now, on Easter Sunday, we'll also have the sun squaring Pluto. And this is always happening prior to the station retrograde of Pluto, and that's going to happen on the 15th. So it's signaling that Pluto is getting ready to go retrograde. And again, the sun in square, it's that time of deciding whether we're going to look at our shadow pieces, whether we're going to really use our intention and consciousness and awareness to become conscious of what is unconscious. And until we make the unconscious conscious, it is what runs our lives. So until we're really ready to integrate the shadow, then we're at the effect of it. So the intent of Pluto is always to bring empowerment, but that's through the process of integrating our shadowed pieces. And so just to realize that the shadow, sometimes we think that these are our, our vulnerabilities, the places where we're not good enough, the fears that we might have, but it can also be the place where we've denied our talents and our abilities and our skills. And it's also the place where we may have buried feelings, especially grief, that we haven't really dealt with. So this is a really powerful time to do that as a way of embracing this idea of resurrection and renewal. The more that we can deal with those things, it's kind of like doing some spring cleaning emotionally as well. So, and then on April 6th, we're going to have Mercury trining Jupiter. Now, remember, on the 2nd, it was trine Saturn. So it's activating the grand trine again, coming in as a trigger point. And this is the imagery that I love about the Grand Fire Trine, is the idea of the phoenix rising from the ashes, the firebird. So I wrote quite a bit about that. And If we think about the all of the imagery of the total lunar eclipse, the renewal and resurrection of the moon that's going to be happening, so that what happens in the eclipse is when the moon is when the Earth is between the sun and the moon darkens, and we're looking at the shadow of the Earth upon the face of the moon. And then it's renewed and it's revitalized and it's brought back to life. And so if we think about the imagery of the phoenix, it's very much the similar thing, where it dives into the fire and then is reborn and emerges out of the ashes of the old. So there's a lot of imagery here that is working with that. And if we look at Tuesday, April 7th, Mercury is square Pluto and really following up on that theme. So the opportunity for this first week of April is to really look at any places we may have grief that we still need to feel and release and let go, any shadow pieces that are still ours to integrate and to work with and to become conscious of, to forgive ourselves for places that we may have judgment, or forgive others where we may be holding those pieces, and to really embrace this imagery around resurrection and renewal.